It's time for Real Estate Roundup. This is the time every single week we get together with noted real estate agent Terry Story. Terry is a 28-year veteran with Coldwell Banker located in Boca Raton, Florida. Welcome to the show, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
So I saw a report I wanted to discuss with you that says that Fannie Mae, the big government-sponsored financing giant, is raising its debt-to-income ceiling from 45% to 50% in July. What is the debt-to-income ceiling?
You know, basically what it is you take your gross monthly income and then you compare it against your debt, which would include like auto loans, credit cards, student loans, and they take a percentage of that. And based on that, they determine what your payment's going to be. So by raising the debt-to-income ceiling, basically it's allowing you more wiggle room in the amount of payment you're going to be able to pay. You're going to be able to receive a higher payment. Now, keep in mind, you know, these are big numbers. So that means 50% of your income is going towards housing when you factor in your debt.
Exactly. And, you know, the remaining 50% that you have to spend, you were talking about taxes now as well, you know, have to be considered. Doesn't leave a whole lot of room left for saving and for living.
Living. I mean, it doesn't take into account food and tuitions and insurances and, you know, all the expenses that we all have. So you have to understand why they're doing it. You know, when we talk about this, you're like, oh no, they're raising the debt ceiling. It sounds like we're going back to 2006 before the crash. It does, but they also did a study. And interestingly enough, Fannie Mae did some research and they found that a significant number of these borrowers have good credit and were not prone to default. So they're not reckless. They're just, you know, they have higher debt. Let's face it, things are expensive.
Yeah, well, incomes aren't rising at that fast, and the cost of housing is going up. I mean, houses are becoming more expensive. So a lot of people are getting shut out of borrowing for mortgages, and they can't buy a house. So this gives more people access to home buying. But be careful out there, because you really want a lot of money left over for your life.
Right, exactly.
Right, okay. Here's another very interesting topic. Where did all the starter homes go?
I know.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing a lot of more expensive homes being built. What about the homes that aren't so expensive that starter people with just getting into a home who can afford only so much? Where are those homes?
You know, the builders aren't building them. Interestingly enough, the builder incurs about a 35% of the total cost to build a home goes to expenses like regulatory fees, like applying for zoning approval, meeting the environmental energy efficiency standards, water and sewer hookups, the cost to delay as developers pay property taxes and interest on the loans while their land just sits there empty. So do you know, Steve, that these costs, to give you an idea, on an average home is gone from $65,000 in 2011 to $85,000 in 2016? So if you're buying a $200,000 home, $85,000 of that is going to these fees. Then you've got the cost of, you know, constructing the home. And then, of course, the builder needs to make a profit. So if the builder doesn't see that he's able to make a profit, they're going to change their marketing strategy and build more expensive homes where they can turn to making some little more money because of these high fees.
If $85,000 out of $200,000 is going just for paying, you know, for zoning and regulatory issues and all of this other stuff, you know, which does have benefits. Let's not just look at the money only. I mean, zoning laws do help to the environment, and there's good reasons, you know, to keep a population at a certain level so streets don't get too crowded, safety of water, of adding parks and things. Okay, so these are important, but what it does, you know, every cause has an effect.
Right.
And the effect here is that builders don't see an economic benefit in building a $200,000 or $250,000 house. They're going to try to build a $500,000 house so they can make a decent profit for all their efforts and risk.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So these are real, and that's why we're not seeing all these, you know, entry-level starter homes.
Well, talking about expensive homes, when we compare the cost of luxury homes in the United States and we compare them to the rest of the world, the United States isn't that expensive. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we're a bargain. The top three global cities to land on the list were Guangzhou, which is in China. That's up 36%. These are luxury homes now, luxury home being homes over a million.
Mm-hmm.
Beijing, they rose 22%. And then our neighbors in Toronto, up 22%.
Mm-hmm. Where do U.S. cities come?
You know, the prime global cities were Miami, Los Angeles, and San Francisco and New York.
Now, there's no surprises there. But what I think you're saying is that the property in other countries outside the United States are generally more expensive.
Yep, exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting.
In the luxury market.
Yeah, in the luxury market, of course. All right, so finally, one more topic here. You know, this whole idea about, you know, there's a need for homes. We've talked about this many, many times on the show that, you know, sellers aren't really selling. Buyers are having difficulty finding property, so therefore prices are rising. So a lot of investors are focusing on what they call build-to-rent homes. Tell us about that.
Yeah, they're betting on the fact that the rental boom will continue, and that's why they're snatching up all these properties. Mm-hmm. Even as the foreclosures dry up, they've purchased, you know, in the past, cheap foreclosures. But what they're finding is if they can pick up a property and build a new construction rental complex, they can fetch an average of 5 to 8% more than buying an older home and renovating it.
Interesting.
So their projections are in favor that the rental market will continue to grow, and they're focusing on capturing that market.
Well, we're seeing it in our own local market. I mean, there are so many communities that are being built here for rent.
Well, yeah, and the rent is not cheap either, by the way.
I know it isn't. Actually, I just did an analysis for a client who's looking to buy in New Jersey, and it was $1,000 a month cheaper for her to buy a home with cash than it was for her to rent currently.
Wow.
Yeah, amazing. My guest, as always, is Terry Story. Terry is a 28-year veteran with Coldwell Banker, located in Boca Raton, Florida, and she can be found at terrystory.com. Thanks a lot, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.